once again, my brothers and my sisters in Christ Jesus, in that name that is above every other name, at the name of Jesus, every knee bows, every tongue confesses. He indeed is Lord. Lord means that He's the boss. Lord means that He's above and everything else is below. Everything else is beneath Him. As He said, after His resurrection, after He beat death and hell, and has made it quite public to anybody that's had half a brain to look into it in the slightest, they see the reality and the truth of the resurrection of Christ Jesus. Not just His death on a cross, but His resurrection and beating death and coming back, and coming back in a resurrected form and revealing and showing Himself multiple times. At one time, to 500 witnesses. I mean, it's incredible. I mean, and just different times, different places, hung out for 40 days, made sure everybody knew that He was alive. That name, yes, one thing that He said was, all authority on heaven and on earth has been given unto Me. Therefore, go to make disciples of all nations. And we do that to this very day. We teach the truth. We spread the gospel. We let people know that the enemy of our soul, the devil, is defeated. We let people know that there is a way out of the darkness. We let people know that there is a solution to the ills of the world and the world's problems. You know, every time that the world grasps for a solution, it has to look to truth, and it has to look to the principles of God to find a way out. You know, every time that when they start cracking up and everything starts falling apart, that the only way out is to go and try to pilfer something from the Word of God, to try to find a principle, a godly rule, a godly statute, something that's based on God's structure and God's design. And then, as they go forward in that and they get some success, then very quickly what happens is people then want to try to get away from God all over again because their hearts are evil. So, classic example was Joseph. You know, Joseph, he had the solution for Egypt's problems and for the problems that were going to come on the whole world in the near future. Joseph had the answer. He knew what Pharaoh should do. He knew what the people of Egypt should do to prepare for the coming, what would be after 7 years of plenty, 7 years of incredible famine that would destroy everything, and people would quickly forget about any prosperity or any wealth that they'd had before, because it would all be gone, all be destroyed. And Joseph had the solution. And what do the worlders do in times of crisis? Well, if they've got any smarts at all, they know that the people of God have solutions. So they look to and try to recruit them in. But what happens when then there's times of blessing and prosperity, and things work and things go forward and they're all right? Well, very quickly, they want to now remove those people again. They want to bring those people into servitude, into bondage, back into slavery. See, the people of God, we, because we're grounded and rooted in truth, because we have been established on the rock who is Christ Jesus, because of who we are, when the world melts down, we stand strong. You know, scriptures say that a righteous man may fall 7 times, but he gets back up again. Whereas one calamity is enough to lay low the wicked for the rest of their time. They don't recover. And so the worlders see that. They know, they understand that for the follower of Christ, that we, when we move forward in something, we are moving forward on solid ground. And so when the things that they do, when they begin to fall apart, you know what? It's not a big deal for the child of God, because we're grounded in something else. You know, for the child of God, I mean, when you look through and the history of the church, You know, we as a body have gone through tremendous persecution in the world. We as a body have gone through lots of hardships. We've had many, many things stolen. We've had many things confiscated. While we've tried to do things in integrity, we've had to deal with dishonest people, deceitful workers, corrupt officials, all kinds of foolishness. But in the middle of all of that, we continue to stand. We continue to go forward. God continues to provide for us in incredible ways. And in the midst of all of that, you know, the people of God have continued to move forward in the earth. We've continued to grow, even though the world would try to extinguish us. You know, the world would try to get rid of us, because the wheat and the tares, they grow together. But many have chosen to go the way of the world. Many have chosen to follow Satan. Many have chosen to go the path of their own destruction. And when they do that, they hate the children of the light. The reason they hate the children of the light is because when they're around us, they know there's another way. When they're around us, they know that they're serving the wrong God. Because if they knew they were serving the right God, they wouldn't have a problem with you. If they knew that they were serving the right God, they wouldn't try to kill you. They wouldn't try to destroy you. They wouldn't try to target you. They do all that because they don't know the true and living God, but something also inside of them on a spiritual level can't stand that light that's in you. Because being in the very presence of light reveals their darkness. It brings conviction. You know, the Holy Spirit brings conviction. He convicts people of sin. He convicts people that they're going the wrong way. He convicts people that there is a better way. And they're making a choice. They're choosing not to go that way. They're choosing to go the way of the world. They're choosing to go the path of their own destruction. So that's why the thought process on a spiritual level that goes through their spiritual mind, maybe even if it doesn't go through their natural one, is just got to get rid of you. Have to put that light out. So either they want to seduce you into their system to get you to be like them. And listen, you can never be like them. You can't. Because when you have been marked for God, when you have been wired for truth, when you have been set apart unto Him, you will never, ever, 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 ever find any true satisfaction in what the world offers. Never. Because you've been marked for something else. It's coded into your DNA, into your makeup, into the way that God has made and designed you. You can't live another way. So either they want to try to seduce you into their system to make you like them, or they got to destroy you, crush you, put you out, put that light out so it can't shine bright anymore. Because they can't just let you be. They can't just let you carry on. They can't just let you walk to and fro in the earth, destroying their system, destroying the illusion that they've created, that they've all tried to buy into. See, the world creates illusions that it buys into. And it needs other people to buy into the illusion in order for the illusion to work. See, you can't perpetuate the lie unless people believe it. See, the truth of the matter is the devil was defeated at the cross. The devil was defeated. You know, when Jesus rose from the dead, hey, game over. You know, there's nothing there. I mean, on the cross, Jesus took the sins of the whole world. He said, it is finished. It was done. The way was made to the Father then and there. And then He showed that He had the power over all that the enemy had in His resurrection. Nothing could hold Him. Nothing could keep Him back. And He went from that place in the depths of the earth, in the depths of Hades, in the depths of Sheol, and all that the world tried to do to him and all that the enemy tried to do to him, he just walked right out of that because death had no hold on him. Death and hell had no sting left. Jesus Christ won. So that's the reality. That's the truth. Now, in order for the devil to have any impact on your life and your existence here, he's got to get you to believe the lie. Because he can't let you know the truth. That's why also people like us that are out there speaking the truth, living the gospel, making it known that there is a way, and we do what we do, the devil can't have that because we collapse his system. Just our presence alone, let alone the things that we speak, but our presence alone in connection with the Spirit of God collapses the system of the world. Reveals it for being a sham. Reveals it for being a farce. And the devil can't have that because otherwise, if that's going around, it's going to set people free. It's gonna just ruffle up everything. So, but the world works on that buy-in to an illusion. If everybody buys into the illusion, then if everybody buys into it, then they can kind of carry on together in the lie because they've all agreed on the lie. The problem with the lie is even if you agree on the lie with other people, it still doesn't make it true. You know, people can agree with each other that cancer cells are good for you, but that's not the truth. They can convince each other day in and day out that that's a good thing, but it's not true. You know, people can convince each other. You know, that's one of the dangerous things about seeker-friendly Christianity and a lot of the places that don't give the true gospel. Is that you get a lot of people together that all pat each other on the back and say, you're okay, and you're not okay. Not if you have not aligned yourself with the truth and with the light and with the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, you going somewhere on Sunday doesn't make you okay. You know, seeking the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and strength, that makes you okay. Loving God with everything that you are, that makes you okay. Being what God made you to be, that makes you okay. You know, not just because other people tell you you're fine. Because people will tell you whatever you want to hear. You can find people that will be all kinds of things to you. But, you know, you want the truth. We want the truth. And because we're truth seekers, I know you tune in because of that too. So in the pursuit of the truth, in the pursuit of light, in the pursuit of Christ Jesus, you know, as we make adjustments along the way, as we continue to grow in grace, we make known that which we learn, because it's a learning process as well. You know, there were some things that we maybe at certain points in time, you know, we said, all right, let's see where this goes. And then we learn later on, hey, you know what? This isn't quite it. Well, when you're flexible, because the Spirit of God makes His people flexible, if something's not it, you just carry on. You don't hold on to anything that is not God's best for you. You just keep moving. Because if you try to hold on to something that's not God's best for you, you're going to end up anxious. You're going to end up frustrated. You're going to end up in a lot of pain. You're going to end up wishing that you hadn't as time goes on. You know, God makes the way for His people, but we have to walk it out. You gotta hold on to that which God has put in your heart. You've got to hold on to the promises of God. You know, I recently God was just encouraging me to hold on to those promises, those things that God has said and spoken over my life, and said this about me. And you know, there's been some incredible things that God has spoken to me about who I am, who I'm going to be, what I'm going to become, all of that. And I know that. But you got to hold on. You got to press through. Because Abraham, he had a similar experience. God told him. You know, at 75, he said, I'm going to do all this stuff. I'm going to make you the father of many nations, all that kind of thing. And it wasn't until 99. I mean, that's incredible to me. You know, but he held on. And he believed God. And it was credited to him as righteousness. That is the founder, the founding father of the faith. And you and I, we are called to do likewise. We're called to not waver in unbelief. We're called to trust God. And in trusting Him, in looking to Him, in speaking the things of God, speaking the Word of God over our life, we see the fruition of that Word. When you got to hold fast to that Word. You got to reckon with the Word of God. You know, I was talking a little bit to my dad about this recently. I can't remember if I spoke about this here, but with David, I think I did, yeah. With David, you know, he reckoned with God that and based on what God had spoken over his life and what God had showed him, and based on the word that David knew about who God was. So he estimated, based on a fixed point, what was going to happen in the different things that he went through in life. Was it easy for the things that he went through? No, not at all. It was still a trial. It was still a test. But he had something in the foundation of who he was that he knew. He knew that God would do what he said he'd do. So when he went out on the battlefield against Goliath, he knew that even though two of them walked off on the field, the only one walking off was David, and he knew Goliath was going to die. That was the reality of his knowing. And he lived that out. You know, we know that God is going to do what he said he's going to do. We know that God is good. We know that God has given us words and spoken things over our lives, spoken things to us, made us a voice. In Jesus' name, rise up into what God has said over your life. Read the Word. Read that Word over your life. Don't just take it into your head. Proclaim it. Because it is true regarding you. The Word of God regarding you is yes and amen. You know, something that God spoke to me while I was in Sri Lanka about a year ago, before even the way was made to be back here in the U.S. and, you know, even some time in Canada, God said, save America, change the world. And that came to me several times while I was over there. Now, for me, you know, something like that, to hear that word, as time is going on, I'm beginning to understand more and more what that means. But I also understand, too, that there is a fight on for this nation. The nation that I'm right now in the dead center of, driving in the middle of it. And as I'm driving and speaking this word to you, I can tell you, based on that revelation, and based on you, it's obvious for anybody that's looking, there is a fight on for the destiny of this nation. There is a fight on for what happens in this land. And part of the reason why is because God has used this land for so many incredible things. God has destined this land for greatness. God has destined these people for greatness. And God has placed His hand on this nation and blessed it. But in His blessing upon this nation, a lot of people have looked to something else instead of to Him. And also, too, the enemy has been working towards a very strong plan to try to destroy this land, to try to destroy this nation, to try to keep this land from being what it was meant to be. And the enemy knows that if this nation falls, that the world would plunge into much, much heavier darkness, because this nation is a light for the world. This nation is a place of truth. This nation has good people that love God here. More, as far as a percentage goes, from what I've seen in my travels of the world, I've never, ever, in all the places I've been, met more per capita, higher concentration of people that love God than those in the United States. You know, there's just people that just, they love Him over here, and they want to serve Him, and they want to follow Him. And that's why the enemies work so hard to try to destroy them. The enemies work so hard to try to destroy the family. The enemies work hard to try to destroy the family unit. The enemies worked hard to try to destroy the truth of what marriage is. Listen. Marriage is what God says it is. All right? You can't... I mean... You can try to call it or to make it be something else, but it's not the truth. It's not what's real. You know, before I left Sri Lanka, you know something that was in the news before I left Sri Lanka? Was the... There was... some police that for a PR stunt, they married a bunch of police dogs. They married some dogs to some dogs. And in the marriage that they did, they married 9 canine couples, and they invited something like, it's like 1,000 guests to the wedding. It was ridiculous. And so government money was being used for that foolishness. And in the end, you know, there's a huge backlash from every religious community in the country. All the kind of stuff that you could imagine was coming out from that. But what were they doing? They were having a doggy wedding. Dog marrying dog. I mean, the way the world is going, that's kind of where they're going to all end up. No, I mean, where it's beyond foolish. But what it revealed was they kind of jumped to an extreme. But it's sort of like, okay, does that count? Is that truly marriage? Yeah, of course it's not. It's not by God's definition or standard. It's not by anything that any one of the religious communities, whether they be Buddhist or Hindu or Islamic, Christian, you know, whatever, you know, people took great offense at that desecration of the institution of marriage by the police officers in that country. Now, why is it then that is not correct, but then when people try to push something like homosexual marriage, that's okay? Or that's something to be pushed for. Why? Do you see where people are coming from with their agendas? Do you see where worlders are coming from with the things that they try to advocate? You know, it's not even about the homosexual, okay? It's not even about that. There's something at a higher level going on. And what the higher level is that God has put His design in the earth realm for how things work, how relationships work, how nature works, how your health works, all kinds of things. God has put them in the earth. And what happens is, if you understand what those designs are and what God has put in place, then when you align yourself with that, you get a godly result. But when you go away from that, you get into trouble. And so what the worlders have done, and what the enemy seeks to do, is he seeks to try to corrupt God's design in the face of God. He seeks to try to do that. You know, and so when people are pulled into all this stuff and they're pawns in that game, realize that the enemy of your soul doesn't care about you at all. And, you know, with all of that, you know, the enemy of your soul, his goal is just to steal and to kill and to destroy. So, you know, that's where he's coming from. So if you're going to be free, you just got to realize...
Exit right ahead.
Yep. If you're going to be free, you've got to realize where the enemy is coming from. Yep. So, realize that the enemy's goal is to try to... It's more about how far he can try to turn things away from what God designed in the first place. Because see, we were made in God's image and God's likeness. Right? Right. That's what Scripture tells us. So what has the enemy tried to do? He's tried to do everything that he can to make man and woman look as far from the image and the likeness of God as possible. To take them as far away from that as possible. So that he can try to show that to God and say, here you go, God. Here's that which you made in your image and your likeness. Here's that which you came and died on the earth for the sins of the whole world for. You died for this. So it's his goal to destroy your life. That's why, too, when you realize where the enemy's coming from, it makes it a whole lot easier just to say, you know what? Fine, I'm done. I'm done with the enemy. I don't want that, because the enemy's got nothing for me.
After 800 yards, take the exit right.
Yep. So, let's see here.
Take the exit right.
So, you know, for us, as we continue to walk with the truth, as we continue to walk out this life with Christ, as we continue to allow the Spirit of the living God to lead us, to guide us, to reveal truth in us, we realize that His is the way. And that's also why we want to make the truth known. We realize that the enemy of our soul, his goal is only just to try to destroy. Because, you know, he's been cast away. He can't stand the fact that you and I will spend all eternity with God. You and I will spend all eternity with the living God. And he has been thrown away. So if he can get you to go to hell with him, if he can get you to somehow be part of his equation to try to hurt God, to try to harm God's heart, whatever he can do, he's going to try. But when you realize that the enemy has nothing that you want, that what you truly want, what is in your heart, what is it your desire, what you truly desire, that only God can give that to you, then there's nothing the world can offer you then. Because it doesn't have what you crave. When you crave the truth, when you crave the reality of a relationship with the living God, when that's what you want, that's what you're going to get. When that's what you want, that's going to be the thing, that the place that God satisfies you. Blessed are those that hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. You know, it is the gift of the Lord God. It is something that His Spirit puts in you. It is something that His Spirit satisfies you with. He satisfies your soul with. So, just know that God is in control. God loves us. And He's the one making the way for us. in and through all that takes place in life. And we just are those that walk out this journey, praising God, glorifying Him, and knowing that He that began a good work in us will surely carry it on to completion. He is faithful. Hallelujah. God bless you. Hey, we love you guys. Drop us an email, faithmix@gmail.com. You can say hi to us on our Facebook page, or also subscribe to the YouTube channel. We're going to get that going pretty soon. So, hey, we love you guys. God bless you. Keep on keeping on. We'll talk to you really soon. Bye.